This is a Dynamike Network podcast.
Welcome everyone to the Max Destruction Podcast. I am your host, Scotty Macho. We do not have Ken for today. He is taking care of some family business, and we wish him the best and all well to his family. But with that, I have, the Dynamike Network is huge and largely full of possibilities of guest hosts. And with me is the host of Sendro World, Master Sendro himself, Zachary Sendro.
Hey, how's it going? Glad to be here.
Awesome, man. So our first segment, Zach, if you aren't familiar with the show, is Hitting the Mat. And it's because I am a huge wrestling fan. And then Ken felt sorry for me saying all this wrestling business that he wanted to give me a little skit in the show. So I will take that right on the shoulder. I am a huge wrestling fan. We are in WrestleMania season right now. We have the Bloodline taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. The Rock, the great one himself, is back in the business, and he's the bad guy. I mean, if you heard one of his promos on Instagram, and the fact that it's Instagram, it was freaking awesome. So Cody Rhodes in the story is always, he's been against diversity ever since his return, right? And his line is always, I need to finish the story. You know, he's going back to the days of when his dad, Dusty, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, was going through the wrestling business, and they would never give him a world championship shot. I think he got one match, he won it, and then they took it away the same night because, just part of the story. So the dad never had a championship. He has two sons, i.e. being one of them, Cody, and none of them have been world champions. So this will be the first in that family line to be world champion. So he's going through social media of, I need to finish the story. And then I love it in full bad guy fashion with The Rock. He goes, Cody Rhodes, I respect you. And with all respect, I want to say this to you very slowly. Fuck your story. That came from The Rock's mouth, dude. It was freaking awesome.
That's pretty epic.
So, I know you being a somewhat of a wrestling fan, Zach, what do you think about any of the new wrestlings today?
It's definitely different from when I was at peak, like, fandom of wrestling. Like, back in the day, I remember going in Toronto to the Sky Dome and watching Raw and seeing Trish Stratus and Tori Wilson. And I remember there was these teenagers behind me, and they were just always like, they had a sign that was just like, show me your puppies. And like, that was kind of like the peak of wrestling for me, and NWO and stuff like that. And lately I've been more on the back burner of the wrestling. I have a bunch of friends that still love it, and they're always talking about it, and I'm kind of lost most of the time. But for me, with wrestling nowadays, is basically just the video games. And I love creating the characters, especially with you showing them off. It reignited my passion to make a whole bunch of characters. So, yeah, probably going to make a whole group of, like, just the network guys and just, have them throw down.
That's awesome that you mentioned that. And if he's talking about the WWE 2K24 that was recently just released, and the big feature in the video game, or the big part of the video game, why people go to video games, is the community creation. I took some of Johnny DC's Superman designs and threw it on there. And now it's in the first page as the most downloaded graphic on there. So, yeah, I can't wait to where we do a freaking Dynamike Royal Rumble And then hopefully the Twins, you know, wink, wink, can get us a Dynamike championship belt to sport on our channels. Or hell, the graphic. We'll put that on the little graphic of the shows too.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever's the reigning champion for that month, all their graphics has the little belt on it. That'd be pretty awesome.
That was so sweet. Now with that, we segue into our wham.
Wham.
All right. So last week's wham was a tribute to my little girl, Serena. She is a very big fan of Raven. More than anything, the Teen Titans Go Raven. And she also gets her sassiness from there, too. But some answers we got on a matchup against Raven. Now, I put on there, too, all types of media for Raven. You can go live action from the Titans. You can go as far as the animated movies and then the Teen Titans Go TV show. So we got a bunch of good answers. We got the Powerpuff Girls. I don't know which one, but I'm guessing all of them. And I can tell you what, Raven can take on all of them. We got Twilight Sparkle. We have Maleficent. We have the zombified Scarlet Witch from the What If series. And then also from the What If series, we got Doctor Strange. The dark one, if you remember.
Yeah, Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. And then I still don't know who this person is. Kay Hori. She looks like I don't know. She looks like a Destiny Warlock or something. And then lastly, we have a Dementor from the Harry Potter. So out of those characters, who do you think would be an awesome matchup for Raven?
Honestly, Twilight Sparkle. Twilight Sparkle, she's just so OP. She's great. So yeah, for that, especially with the Teen Titan Go version, I think that'd be a great matchup.
And freaking hilarious, especially if Raven taps into her leg day persona and come out as Lady Leg Assist and use her leg powers to subdue Twilight Sparkle. And that is Wham. Stay tuned to where I let Master Senjo pick our next Wham at the end of the episode. And now a message from the 01.
Welcome to the Dynamike Network. I am the cyber intelligent being that has dominion over the domain of the Max Destruction Arena. I am the 01, but you may call me Francis. I will take your favorite heroes, villains, and any other jacked up protagonist across the cinematic multiverse and put them to the ultimate test of metal. Two brawlers will enter the arena, but only one can reign supreme. However, all paths lead to Max Destruction.
Thank you. We acknowledge you, Francis. I got to say that because every time I try to guest host on someone, yet Francis is trying to freaking hack on me and destroy the world. Francis will take
over. He is very intimidating.
All right. So today's matchup, Zachary, I'm you coming from the Senjo world, me coming from the cinematic world, these two worlds collide. It's going to be freaking epic. Would you like to share with the audience who we have for battle?
So we have the Green Ranger's Dragon Sword going up against the one and only Mecha Godzilla, but it is the new MonsterVerse legendary Mecha Godzilla. So this is going to be a great matchup.
So awesome. So awesome. The Godzilla Zord versus the Mecha Godzilla, the Godzilla killer himself, is going to be so awesome. You know, also another recent version of Mecha Godzilla was from that Ready Player One.
Yes.
And you know what? Thinking back on it now, because that came out before Kong versus Godzilla, and we should have freaking thought, oh, hey, the next character that's going to come out has to be a Mecha Godzilla. They introduced him into that freaking show, and that was a good version too. But we all know that Mecha Godzilla is a copycat of Dragon Zord, the better one out of all of them. There are so many versions of Mechagodzilla, but there is only one version of Dragon Zord.
Only because they didn't get that far in the new live action movies.
The hosts believed that the next best thing to creating an irrefutable method to decide things, like a coin flip, would be hacking into AJ9K, the AI that those dynamic dual fools, sorry, upstanding gentlemen use. Once hacked, the guys input statistics for the subjects of this week's fight, including strength, fighting style, and most importantly, humor. The stats are then compared 1,000 times, presenting a final result to determine the ultimate victor. To avoid boring your ears off with numbers game, the hosts have elected to present a speculation on how one of the fights play out for your listening pleasure. Now, despite my best efforts, it seems that every simulation manages to occur within the vicinity of the safe house I find my way to. Fortunately, the environment isn't relevant to the simulations. I mean, fortunate for them and you. It sucks for me.
All right. Thank you, Francis. And with that, folks, we go into our speculation, the tell of the cocoa butter.
On Max Destruction, the hosts use a semi-idiotic method called the tale of the cocoa butter as a clever device to provide character backstories, much like Rogan does at the UFC. The hosts go through their respective characters' backgrounds, abilities, and equipment to provide the best possible description.
Now, I will go first, Master Senjo, at your leave. I have to do say, Zach, I mean, the audience is not going to be able to see it, but we see each other on video, and I could tell you what, out of many co-hosts that go through here, they don't have a good set of freaking hair like us and a nice 5 o'clock shadow.
Yep.
They're either losing their hair or, you know, unfortunately for Ken being in the military, you know, I was there with him. He has to cut it off every single time so they don't get this epicness.
Yep.
In which case, that's where I'm going to tell you why I grew out this bad boy. Because of my favorite Power Ranger growing up, Mr. Tommy Oliver from the late Jason David Frank.
Rest in peace.
Yes, sir. You know, I was, fun fact. I was one of many recent people that met him before he died.
Oh, wow.
He came over here in Washington to the, we had a summer con, they called it. And, this was great timing. So he was there. Of course, he was the headline. It sucked because other Power Rangers were there. Both Black Rangers were there. I only know them by, you know, what the characters they play, Adam and Zachary.
Yeah, Adam is Johnny Young Bosch. He's one of my favorite anime voice actors.
Yeah, because he had all the characters that he played. And there was a bunch of characters I didn't know he played.
Yeah.
Kimberly was there too. And the weird thing was, is they didn't put them all in the same room.
Oh, they wow.
Segregated. Though both the Black Rangers were together, and that was awesome because, you know, I was sitting in line for one. I just wanted to see Zachary and have him sign my Punko.
Walter Jones, that's his name.
Yeah, Walter Jones, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was next to the guy playing Adam, and they're like, hey, you know, they moved the barricade and they hung out with each other. It's like they're both Black Rangers. They're going to hang out right there. Entertained everybody. It was freaking awesome.
Yeah, Zach was definitely my favorite Ranger because we shared the same name.
So that was awesome to meet him. Took pictures with him. Me and the wife were both fans of Power Rangers. Well, I mean, what 90s kid isn't a fan of Power Rangers?
Well, exactly. Yeah, I met the Power Rangers. I met Amy Jo, which the Pink Ranger. I met Walter Jones. I met Jason David Frank, and also met Austin St. John all at a con when I was like 7, I think. And the thing is like they really inspired me to get into martial arts. Not them personally, but Power Rangers themselves. really got me into martial arts. Like, I grew up watching all the Bruce Lee movies, all of that, because like I am part Chinese, so I had all of that in my household. And yeah, and then just Power Rangers came on and I was like, yeah, I want to do that. And so, you know, from the age of 7, I'm still somewhat trained to this day. And, you know, I have a double black belt in karate. I've got a yellow tang in Muay Thai, right? And, you know, I do a little bit of jiu-jitsu. So it's fun. And the other thing too is I really got into Wing Chun karate as well, right? Because again, Bruce Lee is one of my idols. And so we actually found a school that taught that. So I've actually been doing Kung Fu for about 21 years. So yeah, it's been inspirational, Power Rangers.
I didn't know Robert Downey Jr. was a student of Wing Chun too.
Yeah, and that it shows it off in the, Sherlock Holmes movie. A lot of the combat he does in that is all straight from the school of Wing Chun.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
And that's why, folks, you do not mess with an older millennial. We all were bred to fight.
Pretty much.
Power Rangers.
Yeah. Power Rangers and Bruce Lee.
Power Rangers and Bruce Lee. All right. Now we segue, so I'm going back into the speculation of the Dragon Zord, the Godzilla Zord, the Green Ranger's power vehicle. The Dragon Zord is linked to the Green Mighty Morphin Power Coin. Due to its unique construction and controls among the Dinozords, it was controlled by various points by Tommy Oliver, the Mighty Green Power Ranger, and Rita Repulsa, who was the owner of the Green Power Ranger coin. Now, he has been in few episodes. There's like hundreds and hundreds of episodes for the Mighty Morph Power Rangers. But however, there was only a few episodes where the Green Ranger appeared. And I could tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, every time the Green Ranger appeared, they made sure you knew that the Green Ranger was appearing. There was always these big cliffhangers or little side music that is going to introduce the Green Ranger, the Godzilla Ranger. If you don't know what the Dragon Zord looks like, ladies and gentlemen, it is essentially a Power Ranger Zord version of Godzilla. He comes out of the Angel Grove Bay like Godzilla from the Cartoon Network series. The water bubbles and he pours up and does his awesome roar and then walks through the bay, smashing he's a good guy, but he smashes everything that's in his way. He has a strong tail whip with the drill attached at the tip. He has missiles that can be launched from his fingertips, and he does a super drop kick where I don't know where he got it from Godzilla and Godzilla versus Megalodon, where he'll glide across the screen and nail the freaking drop kick. When it's all said and done, and if Dragonzord is being overpowered, he calls his fellow Dinozords and becomes the Mega Dragonzord, using his tail as a lance. Oh my god, it's freaking awesome. I didn't know this too. If you were even to buy the Dinozord toys or any Power Rangers Zords from Saban way back when, I think, what were they with, Mattel? Was it Mattel?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So if you were to buy any of those old ones, they are able to interconnect with each other now with different versions.
Oh, like, I didn't know that.
Okay. Because you had the, what is it, like the Mega Force and the Super Samurai.
Yeah.
They had versions where they called mainly the Mega Force, where they called other Zords from different eras.
Yes, and the Gosai.
Exactly. They were able to connect with each other. And so that I watched it on the Toys That Made Us.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I didn't know that they did that, because I was like, I had the Dragon Zord, I had all the Megazords, and I also had the Brachiozord, right? And all of those would come together, and I had them all together just sitting on the shelf.
Ultra Zord, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Bro, you got to watch that episode.
I definitely will.
That is freaking awesome. And I didn't know that, where they were all be able to connect to each other.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so the other part of Dragonzord is his durability. He can be taking so much damage from Goldar swinging his sword to other giant monsters that some can even spit toxic, which they just take the toy and they put pink bubble gum on it. And then he's poisoned. But as long as Tommy calls on with his flute, as long as he calls on that flute, Dragonzord lights will come on in his chest and he pops right back up like nothing has happened. That is the power of Dragonzord. That is the power of the Green Ranger. So I say, Master Senjo, come at me, bro.
All right. So yeah, like we said earlier, I'm bringing Mechagodzilla to this battle. And he is essentially just a giant robotic version of Godzilla himself. He stands at a whopping 400 feet tall. He's pretty damn big. I mean, Kong just climbs all over his back like it's nothing. So yeah, he's quite huge. His weight is unknown, but you know he weighs a lot. And he actually has a range of 6 miles with his roar. Like, that's pretty insane. And he has big ass feet. His feet are 65 feet long. So he's a big dude, and he's got a bite force of about 7,400 pounds per square inch. So he's quite beastly. So Mechagodzilla is a mechanical titan that appeared as the primary antagonist of the 2021 Legendary Pictures film Godzilla vs. Kong. It is the second incarnation of Mechagodzilla to appear in American-made film after the incarnation featured in the 2018 film Ready Player One, like we discussed earlier. So he's basically just a robotic duplicate of Godzilla, and he was constructed in secrecy by the Apex Cybernetics to end the Reign of Titans. And it was piloted by Ren Shizawa via a neural connection between the mech and the skull of King Ghidorah, which Apex had acquired from eco-terrorists. And in 2024, Apex organized a mission with the Organization of Monarch to lead an expedition into the Hollow Earth to find an energy source capable of powering Mechagodzilla in the wake of Godzilla's sudden rampages. When the energy source was recovered, it was used to activate Mechagodzilla while Godzilla and Kong battled in Hong Kong. However, the untested power source allowed Ghidorah's consciousness to possess Mechagodzilla, causing it to quickly break free of Apex's control. The rogue mech killed its creators and tore its way out of the Apex facility, busting free from beneath Victoria Peak Mountain just after Godzilla defeated Kong. The mecha monster set its sights on its organic nemesis and bombarded it with a plethora of weaponry and empowered physical attacks, easily overpowering Godzilla. When Godzilla seemed outmatched, Kong came to his enemy's rescue, helping turn the tide by cooperating with Godzilla. By cooperating, Godzilla and Kong were able to triumph over the ultimate destroyer when Godzilla charged Kong's axe with his atomic breath, allowing Kong to slice Mechagodzilla apart, ending its rampage. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So his powers and abilities are
a Superman punch, I know from the freaking movie.
Okay, no, I was just making sure his background went through.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
All right. So, powers and abilities wise, Mechagodzilla is a remarkably powerful fighter, having been constructed by Apex to destroy the Titans, Godzilla in particular. It was easily able to overpower the King of Monsters in combat and nearly kill him. So, it has a A74 proton scream, which is essentially just its version of Godzilla's atomic breath. So he has shoots lasers. He also has a missile launcher, so he can shoot just a barrage of missiles. He also has jet boosters, which, like you were saying, allows him to Superman punch Godzilla in the face. I think that's going to come in handy. And it can also swim. And apparently in the PUBG Mobile, Mechagodzilla can launch several aerial drones from its back, which are each equipped with little machine guns. And his durability, he has a exoskeleton composed of titanium, and its body frame is made of a T1 nanometal skeleton housing. So he's pretty durable himself. He did take quite a beating from Godzilla and Kong, and it took like them basically like combining their strengths to just even cut into Mechagodzilla. And Mechagodzilla's tail is another weapon, which he also kind of uses just like the Dragon Zord, where the end of it spins and it's kind of like a drill lance type deal. And then he also has claws that kind of can spin like, I don't even know, just like egg beaters, essentially, and just cut into you. And then
Now they're going to make a kitchen appliance with a Mecha Godzilla. I would buy it too. That would be freaking awesome.
Yep. And that is basically Mecha Godzilla in a nutshell.
Man, this is going to be awesome. We have both have monster killers. Both have taken on more than one monster and have come, well, one has came out on top, Zachary, i.e. say the Dragon Zord. So you being our guest today, sir, I would let you, where do you think these two massive titans will go to battle on?
To be honest, just to keep it like canonical, I would say they fight in the heart of Tokyo. They're right in the center of the city, just bumping into buildings.
Let's have it in Tokyo. Dragon Zord versus legendary Mecha Godzilla. We're not going to play that copyright, folks. But Dragon Zord is going to come in through the harbor, do his water bubbling, and then burst right up out of the harbor, doing his massive roar, walking on to the Tokyo scene. We're going to see Mechagodzilla popping out of another mountain, blasting and freaking yelling. So who goes first?
Honestly, Mechagodzilla would more than likely go first because he's just, that's what he does. He just wants to destroy. So, yeah. Mechagodzilla. Yeah, Mechagodzilla spots the Dragon Zord and he's like, oh, look at this copycat, you know, with his Ghidorah brain. And he's going to just start off the fight by just shooting his atomic breath just to try and, you know, test this other robot out.
All right. So the atomic breath is coming, and then Dragon Zord is going to sidestep that. Okay. And then Tommy is going to call for that super drop kick. Dragon Zord is going to put his tail to the ground, and then he's going to glide right across the terrain, hitting Mechagodzilla with the drop kick.
All right, so the drop kick is going to land right in Mechagodzilla's chest, and Mechagodzilla is going to plant his tail into the ground and just kind of stop the Dragon Zord in its tracks. Then he's going to hold the Dragon Zord by its feet and just spin it around, classic Godzilla style, and just spin the Dragon Zord around and just throw him into like 12 buildings.
Well, I am just picturing it already, just Godzilla style, the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger style. So as Dragonzord is flying through the buildings, taking out some of his cunts, he hits his tail on the ground, turns on the drill. That way it stops him in his tracks, and he gets right back up on his feet. And then he trots his way, you know, his slow little, you know, crunch step, crunch step, crunch step. And then he goes for the tail whip, but, you know, in Mighty Morphin's Power Ranger fashion, the creatures always duck it. But then he comes back in with the headbutt, and he has that spike fin on his head. So he connects with the headbutt and then lifts up and then delivers a headbutt to the face and then launches a barrage of missiles from his fingertips.
Okay. So this headbutt definitely is going to be knocking Mechagodzilla back, but he's going to counter it with his like jet boosters and kind of stay standing, and as the missiles start coming towards him, he launches his own barrage of missiles to counteract the Dragonzords. And unfortunately, Mechagodzilla's got more missiles, so he basically counters all of the Dragonzords and then continues just firing more onto the Dragonzord.
So I will say the Dragonzord takes that hit from the missiles, but he's not down. He's not down for the count at all. Dragonzord gets right back up and then turns on his drill. Now he turns his backside to Mechagodzilla. Now he turned it into a sword fight. So he has his drill bit on and he is just slashing crossways back and forth at Mechagodzilla.
All right, Mechagodzilla is probably going to get hit like once or twice, but with the second hit, he's going to spin around and he's going to activate his own drill tail. And then we're really going to have a sword fight. So the two of them are just like kind of shaking their asses at each other, just smacking their tails into each other. Nobody really has the upper hand here.
All right. So as the tails are being smacked into each other, they tangle, right? And then Dragonzord is going to lift up Mechagodzilla, giving him a body slam. There just so happens to be a warehouse where they make coffee tables. And then he's gonna smack him down on that warehouse, laying him flat.
All right. So the Dragonzord is essentially standing kind of above a downed Mechagodzilla. And surprisingly, this Mechagodzilla is quite mobile, unlike the Dragonzord. So he's going to just cock his foot back and just boot the Dragonzord like in the crotch area and just kind of send him like flying backwards. And then he's going to use his his jet boosters to propel himself back into a standing position. And then he'll once again activate his jet boosters and just come in and finish off like a punch into the Dragonzord's face, just knocking it completely to the ground.
Now, what you would think would be a punch to the face was Dragonzord ducking and coming up with his drill tail right into the abdomen of Mechagodzilla, drilling right through him. And then as he holds his kill right in front of him, releases the missile barrage right into Mechagodzilla's face, popping his head off.
Or as the tail makes contact with Mechagodzilla's abdomen, he's able to activate the jets on his right side and just kind of use the momentum from the drill making contact and just kind of spin off away from the Dragonzord. And then he's going to turn his hands. He's going to basically activate his hand, like spinning hand claws. And then he's just going to drive it into the Dragonzord's chest and just kind of tear the chest open, essentially splitting the Dragonzord in half.
So that would be a good spot to pause. Either Dragonzord blows Mechagodzilla's head off, or Mechagodzilla turns Dragonzord into an egg beater.
I think it's a damn good place.
So with that, we come up to Francis. Can you walk us through our destruction spectrum?
It's time for the destruction spectrum, or as I like to call it, collateral damage. that makes just a modicum of sense. Here, the hosts take the character's destruction potential and rate it on a scale of 1 to 5. To put it bluntly, it's how much collateral damage they can cause before the National Guard has to step in, be it a barroom brawl or a world-ending nuclear holocaust. The hosts will persevere and provide you with this valuable information because, let's face it, this is why you're here.
All right, and I think it was on a 1 to 5 spectrum, right? So, Zachary, how do you think the destruction spectrum will go for these two behemoths?
I would definitely say this is like a city-destroying event at minimum. So I don't know how you would scale that. If 5 is like a holocaust, then I would say it's maybe like a 4, maybe a 3.5. I'm not too sure how to break that down, but it's definitely high, high numbers there between these two.
I would concur, sir. I would even almost go 4.5 because you have the Mecha Godzilla also freaking capable, world-destroying freaking Godzilla. If they returned him loose on the world, then he would destroy everything. But just on his capabilities and his freaking atomic blast alone would freaking level out city blocks. Now, Dragonzord isn't made for destruction and stuff. Other than, as we saw in the shows, he gets thrown to our older buildings. You know, where's the collateral damage in that? Hell, when he pops out of the harbor and is walking across the freaking the marina, he's automatically a 3.5 when called in.
Exactly. So, yeah.
How do you like making history, sir? That's the first where these we have that destruction spectrum become that high.
Oh, wow. that's exciting. I mean, the last episode that I showed up on, we had like maybe a 1, I believe, mm-hmm. was the destruction spectrum there with Texas Chainsaw guy, Leatherface. So, yeah, this is awesome. Like my show, essentially, like I use Planet Busters. So if I had a destruction spectrum every time, it would be, you know, high fives.
You need a universal scale for that one.
Yes, exactly. Right. So, no, this is awesome. This is definitely more so in my wheelhouse for sure. For sure.
And with that, people, stand by as we announce the results later in the show. Going back to your the Sendril world, Zach, we had a passing of a legend in the anime business. I am a big Dragon Ball fan. I grew up watching the Dragon Ball series. Now, my dad was the beginning Dragon Ball series of Young Goku. And then I grew up with the Dragon Ball Z series.
Okay.
So Gohan is my doppelganger following. Now, Gohan, but I would say Trunks more than anything, because Trunks was a freaking badass growing up. And they do not give that guy much credit as they do Gohan.
No, they do not.
But of a legend.
Yeah, no, it's super sad. Akira Toriyama passed. I believe it was at the beginning of the month, but they announced it like a week later. And it's super sad. I'm actually doing a small tribute on my episode tomorrow. So if you guys are fans of Dragon Ball, tune into that tomorrow. But yeah, it's just so sad. Dragon Ball and Akira Toriyama, with all his other works, he's just inspired so many of these artists. Like, one of my favorite animes is Bleach, and the writer, like Tite Kubo, like he was rejected by Shonen Jump, and Akira actually wrote him a letter, like just being like, hey, I like this story. You know what I mean? You got something here, like just, you know, keep it going. And that just inspired Kubo to just continue trying. And finally he got into Shonen, and now we have Bleach, like one of the best series. So yeah, he's just inspired a complete generation of manga artists and just anime fans in general. And, it's just extremely sad with his passing. Like, I didn't even know he was sick or anything like that. So, Yeah. Rest in peace, Akira Toriyama.
You mentioned some stories, and what comes to mind too is just because the Dragon Ball Z series kind of launched everything there with the story of Goku and Vegeta coming back and being that sidekick or anti-hero. When you look at it at different how it affects other mediums of storytelling too, there's a reason why they brought Zod back. Who does Zod remind you of? You know, that's freaking Vegeta they freaking brought back. So I am a huge fan of Vegeta more than Goku. I think Vegeta is eventually, it should be taking, I think they tried to make him a showrunner at one point when they did the GT. It just didn't go as well as they freaking hoped. The designs were cool, but it should have been Vegeta taking on, and Trunks. And then I love the, they tanned off and did storylines with them. So it was nice.
Yeah, no, I definitely am more of a Vegeta fan than a Goku, for sure. Vegeta is definitely my favorite character from Dragon Ball, 100%. Like, without a doubt. I've always loved Vegeta. I always liked him when he was such an asshole. And now he's kind of more of like a father and stuff. And me, you know, being a first-time father, I relate more with it. So I like Vegeta even more. So, but if you do want to learn more about Vegeta, he's actually in tomorrow's episode. So if you want to know more about Vegeta's background after Dragon Ball Z, then tune into that, because I am actually covering the manga version of Vegeta with his new transformations and everything. So that is going to be a very good time. And I have my good friend John from the Console Combat. He's also guest hosting for that one. So that is going to be extremely, extremely fun. And he's fighting against Garo from One Punch Man. And if you know anything about Garo, he is quite a badass when it comes to getting beat up and coming back. He's essentially a Saiyan in his own right. He loses a fight, then comes back with a Zenkai boost. So this is going to be a great, great matchup next tomorrow.
This is awesome. I'm definitely going to tune in. I try to follow the cartoons, as you know, when they released it to the U.S., you know, get the English dub. But then my brother, twin brother, being also a fan of it too, he introduced me. People started putting narrated versions of the manga on YouTube.
And okay. So
we watched Vegeta's come up to, you know, becoming Destruction Vegeta. And it was like, yes!
Yes, exactly. So that's going to be awesome. That's going to be an awesome matchup.
So that is it for this show, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in to the Dynamike Network. We have a whole bunch of slew of shows for you. We have the Console Combat, if you like video game character battles. We have Max Destruction here for your manly action movie battles and TV shows. And then we have Master Senjo here from the Sendro world for your anime battles. So please tune in tomorrow to catch that. And of course, our big benefactors of the show, the creators, the Dynamic Duel, who do your Marvel and DC. Is there anything else that you would like to plug, Zach?
Just go check out my social medias at Senjo World Pod on all the social media platforms, and Senjo Plays on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. And before that, I told you, you were going to give us a wham later today. So with that.
Wham.
Master right. Senjo, what would be our next wham?
Okay, so for this week's wham, let's keep it in the Monsterverse. I'm going to choose King Kong.
Oh, yeah.
And like the old school King Kong, like the big guy in a crappy rubber suit.
The one getting taken out by the Apache helicopters, or are we talking about the...
Yes, the one with the little lady on top of the Empire State Building, that version.
Of course, all right. So, ladies and gentlemen, please get on the socials. Tell us who you would want to match up with King Kong in our WAM. Thank you, Zachary, for filling in for Ken. Again, we hope that everything is all right with his family.
And yes, no, for sure. And yeah, all the prayers go out to Ken.
Do I get to have my own Francis moment? Oh, you thought you were away from me, but you always come back. No, folks, I am back. Thank you for taking over for me. Scotty, always great. So real quick, let me go ahead and give you the results of this match. The results of 1,000 matches was Mechagodzilla. I know, shocking, right? And do not worry, folks, I shall return. But I do think maybe Scotty is onto something about having some of these guest hosts. Who should it be? Who should it be? See you next week.
But hopefully I can grab a bunch of other co-hosts. Hell, maybe I might even have my twin brother on here. And now we'll have another twin network going against another twin network. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Thank you, Zachary, for coming on here and filling in for Ken. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Yep, anytime, man, anytime.